Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Danny with Terminal CWO, and welcome to the show. So, as always, my dog is in here, and the first thing she does when I start recording is starts cleaning herself. Literally goes into a full washdown and just slurping and smacking, and I have to go and clean this out of the audio because I have a super sensitive mic, so that's a lot of fun. I really love her. I mean, she's awesome dog, but I swear she does this on purpose. She knows I'm recording, and she's like, all right, it's time to clean myself. Whatever. Enjoy yourself, dog. Okay. So I took a look through my Instagram feed and I had a whole bunch of stuff lined out, first of all. And then I didn't record. And that was like 3 weeks ago. So I had all the stuff I wanted to talk about before. And I'm like, if you would actually record on a semi-regular basis, then you could talk about this stuff. But I don't. I was actually looking at some stuff earlier about doing like a stream for YouTube, not live streaming. I don't want to do any of the Twitch stuff or the YouTube live streaming, but like doing a screen recording where I'm actually sharing the articles and stuff in real time. So instead of doing these like big production videos, big production being not big production at all, but they're pretty time consuming. Those videos I put out, those take like 4 or 5 hours. Those are no joke. And that doesn't even count the research. That's just the time put into putting that stuff together. So if I could do this stuff more like imperfect, you know what I'm saying? Where you just record it on the spot and you just say what you're going to say, maybe script it out a little bit, but I don't know. That would be a lot easier. That way I could put more stuff out, show you what's going on across the force on a more regular basis. Not everything has to be this big centerpiece story, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, I want to talk about a few things today. One of the things I posted today actually was Biden erasing college debt. And really quick, cover some important facts. The article itself says he erased $5.8 billion in Corinthian college debt. I only say that it's important in the context of what we're talking about because I'll discuss it in a second. It's important. But regardless, we've seen this conversation playing out for the last year plus, with these politicians screaming and begging for college debt to be wiped out. You know, it's unfair that people should be straddled with this stuff. Well, it's unfair that you allowed the college market in the first place to run unregulated as it did, and you allowed people to rack up hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt for bullshit degrees that aren't going to do them any good, get them a job in the long run. And now some of these folks, you read some of these horror stories, they're going to be straddled with debt simply due to their tuition for the rest of their lives. I mean, unless somebody comes in and, like the government, just pays the stuff off. But you allowed this market economy to run ramp, you know, out of control for so long without regulations. I don't really know a whole lot of the background of why colleges have been allowed to do what they do for decades and decades, but here we are. That doesn't change the fact that somebody signed their name on a piece of paper, took out that loan. You have to pay it back. That's a promissory note that you said, hey, I'm going to pay this college tuition back. The point of this all is that one of the biggest sticking points for being in the military was you got tuition assistance. You got college paid for, the GI Bill, all that stuff. And that's a huge incentive. When I've talked to a lot of folks over the last 20 years, there's been a laundry list of why people joined. But one of the biggest things, whether it was the primary reason or it was down the list a little bit, was having college paid for. That's a big deal. That's a lot of money. People are like, yeah, man, I signed up, joined the military to get that GI Bill. And now, what? We're going to see, we might possibly see that doesn't even matter in the next couple of years. If they pay off college tuition, there is no incentive. There is no GI Bill. It doesn't matter. I'll just go take out whatever loan I want and have somebody pay it off. Not cool. Anyways, I want to talk about the recruiting numbers that go into that and what that looks like. Some of the information I've gotten from recruiting both active component and then the reserve side. Whew, wow. This year's going to be bad, folks. It looks really bad across the force. I'll show you what I posted if you didn't see it, or I'll tell you what I posted. Recruiting is really bad right now. Really bad. Then I wanted to talk about the sailors on the USS Truman that are being rationed. Talk about that in a larger context of what that looks like in the Navy, and then what we're seeing across the force as a whole. Rationing, well, we'll get into it in a second. Give me a minute. All right, let's expound on what Biden did with this college debt stuff. When I was talking a minute ago about Corinthian colleges, if you look that up on Wikipedia, it says a Corinthian college was a large for-profit post-secondary education company in North America. Its subsidiaries offered career-oriented diploma and degree programs in healthcare, business, criminal justice, transportation technology and maintenance, construction trades, and information technology. But basically, without beating you up with a whole bunch of information you don't really care about, the Corinthian, whatever it was, closed their college campus in Canada in 2015, and then they went on to close their campuses in America shortly after. And they got hit with a whole bunch of fraudulent activity charges, and there was a whole bunch of students who were affected. And okay, so they filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy, blah, 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 all that stuff. So there was a lot of debt. And in June, just came out, Department of Education announced that it would cancel $5.8 billion of student loan debt for 560,000 students who attended Corinthian. Okay. You say, well, I mean, okay, this is different though, right? Sure. If this was the only conversation we were having about this, it's fine. This is 100% being used as a test bed. This meets all the criteria for the sympathetic abolishment of debt that these people incurred. And whereas, yeah, I think something should be done, how it's being done is the issue. And with all the politicians in this entire administration having jockeyed for debt abolishment of student loans, this is 100% just setting the standard, paving the way for what's to come. Like I said, if this was the only conversation about student loan repayment that was being had, then I wouldn't even be talking about this right now. But it's not. This is a springboard for something bigger. Somebody has to pay this shit. Somebody has to go in there and pay student loans off. Who? That money comes from somewhere. We know where it comes from, right? I'm not gonna insult your intelligence by telling you where it comes from. You know where it comes from. If you pay taxes, it's coming from you. Yeah, I'll insult your intelligence. So this is a problem. It's a problem because we already have a staggeringly low recruiting, what do you call it? I don't know. I don't know what the phrase is, but anyways, our numbers are bad. Our numbers are really bad. There are certain metrics that USAREC, that's the United States Army Recruiting Command, relies on throughout the year to kind of gauge where they're at, where they need to tell, hey, recruiters, you need to be focusing on this, you need to be doing this, you need to be hitting this. And I wasn't a recruiter, so I'm not super smart on it, but I'm smart enough that I know how recruiting works. And I can tell you the numbers are super bad right now. I got a note from a very high-ranking person. Often happens. I have a lot of people in my inbox, some of them with a significant amount of rank. Truth. Anybody who's followed me for a minute knows that I'm talking to some folks that are up there on the totem pole. I get a message from somebody. And in fact, let me pull it up. I have it in my I have it right here in my pictures. I could just pause the mic, but I'm not going to. All right. So dude said, saw your post on USAREC. I know very well. He's saying that he knows a certain amount of the 6 recruiting brigade commanders. He knows them very well. And then he knows some of the recruiting battalion commanders as well. Knows them very well. Army is 20,000 plus off their numbers for active component. Whoa. Trajectories and trends could have the Army off or short in the active component by 30,000 to 36,000 for FY22. He is saying, based on the feedback he's getting from these recruiting brigade commanders and battalion commanders, that the active component for the Army could be off by a number between 30 and 36,000 recruits for this year, for FY fiscal year 22. That's like two divisions plus of soldiers for the active component. Said some of these recruiting leaders say that the pressures from senior Army leaders is relentless, but they, saying those leaders, are just admiring the issue and not pulling up their sleeves to actually help. Instead, they increased the pressure in an already stressful job, threatened to relieve those that are working the streets and in hometowns. And then goes on to talk about some other stuff. For instance, like how the USAREC commanding general Vereen, who's basically overseeing this massive failure of recruiting, got picked up for a third star. If we look a little closer at Vereen, Vereen is military police, and if you look at some of the higher ups in the general community, general officer community, military police, if you see who he's friends with, Lieutenant General Ted Martin, for instance, and some other folks. Anyways, I don't know. I didn't actually look into his background, so somebody correct me if I'm wrong on that. That's what somebody else told me. So let's put this in perspective from a recruiting standpoint really quick. Most 18-year-olds are not tied into the community as you and I are. We're either active, or we were active, or we're a dependent of somebody who's active, or something to the effect where we know the military to a certain degree. Most 18-year-old kids coming out of high school are not going to know the military, but they might be tuned into, and hopefully they are, tuned into national news. If you look at national news, the military is bleeding over. And it kind of started with, there have been a number of stories. I would say the most prominent being Vanessa Guillen, right? The specialist at Fort Hood who was murdered and became one of the biggest news stories that we had seen that year, 2020. When you saw the fallout from that, what you saw was from an unbiased perspective, from a neutral perspective. I know nothing about the Army. I know nothing about Fort Hood. I know nothing about any of this stuff. I just see a girl's murdered, and I saw what appeared to be a lot of cover-up. And then I saw a lot of leaders, senior leaders. Hey, I don't know what a colonel is. I don't know what a general is. But, man, everybody's saying these dudes are, like, really high-ranking. They run these places. Like, hey, a general officer is like the mayor of the city, right? You know, he runs the base. He's in charge of all these people. He's the CEO. He's whatever. I see these people getting relieved. And then I see bodies, dozens of bodies appearing all over Fort Hood. Like they're looking for Vanessa Guillen, and all of a sudden just corpses start popping up everywhere. And all of a sudden we start finding out that dozens and dozens of people have been murdered, been killed, all of the rapes going on in Fort Hood. I mean, it blows up. It snowballs into this big conversation. Whoa. Oh, and then I find out Fort Hood is the largest military installation, not just in the U.S. Army, but in the world. It's the largest installation in the world. And if I'm thinking about that as an 18-year-old kid, I'm like, yikes, dude. Like, I don't know if this is for me. Maybe I take a look at one of the other branches. Oh, the Navy, record suicides. Oh, then I start looking, and everybody's killing themselves. Whoa, suicides are off the chart. What is this other conversation going on? Oh, man, like the military just pulled out of Afghanistan, and they just beat feet and handed it over to the Taliban and left them with a treasure trove of weapons. I could go on and on, right? The point is, if I'm looking at this, if I'm trying to put this in perspective and look at this problem set for, as an 18-year-old kid who somebody is trying to recruit, not me now, not some salty ass warrant officer who knows the ins and outs and is like, dude, I'm not doing this again. But like an 18-year-old kid, unbiased, somebody is trying to recruit me, and I'm looking at all the facts that I see from my perspective, it doesn't look too appealing. And then they come out and, man, the recruiting is weird. Like, recruiting command pretends like they have their pulse on Middle America. Hey, we've got it figured out. But they never have. They've never had their thumb on Middle America. They've always been trying to appeal to a demographic and just doing it the wrong way. You remember back in the day when they spent like millions and millions of dollars on NASCAR, trying to get people like, hey, we're gonna invest in NASCAR because all these rednecks, they love America and they're gonna sign up. Like, no. No. What are you doing, man? That's not Middle America. Well, if you flip to the opposite side of the spectrum, you see just some of the most outlandish recruiting ads I've ever seen. The two moms one is what everybody keeps bringing up. You know, you have these two moms and this recruit who's proud to join up because she has two moms, whatever, but it completely misses the pulse. Like, I don't care if you have two moms, two dads, but what you're trying to do here is you're trying to engineer the modern family. And that's not what the modern family is. The modern family is honestly a broken family. Middle America is comprised of broken families with a divorce rate over 50%. I think it's like 60% now or something like that. Most kids are coming from two family homes involving straight couples. Those are the statistics. Okay. They come from a broken home, two moms, two dads in straight relationships. And if I was appealing to anybody, that would be who I'm trying to go for, not the kid who's like proud and woke because, you know, they have two mommies and you're missing the boat. So all of this said, the point is that Biden and his administration are slowly erasing one of the largest recruiting tools that the Army has ever had, ever. Once you take free college tuition out of the equation, dude, stick a fork in it, man. You guys can't even appeal to kids right now with $50,000 bonuses. You're about to be 36,000 recruits short for the year. How is that possible? How? You can't throw enough money at these kids. I get it. We're in 2022. What is $50,000 now? It's a lot of freaking money. I'll take $50,000, but I'm trying to put it in perspective. When I came in 2000, what was it? It was, I don't know. I'm sure inflation hasn't been that crazy. You know, maybe it was like 40,000 back then. I don't know. Regardless what the numbers are, that's still a lot of freaking money. I didn't know. Yeah, I was one of those kids who didn't know that bonuses were a thing. Yikes. I got some stories about that. That's a whole different conversation, but yes, I got shafted because I'm an idiot. But coming out on the surface, if somebody had thrown that kind of money back at me back then, I couldn't have signed up fast enough. I signed up for other reasons. And it wasn't because of 9/11. That hadn't even happened yet. But holy crap, that's a lot of money. And you can't even convince a kid now, and you're going to take away one of the largest recruiting tools we have. And I keep beating this dead horse to further death, into pulpish death, if I don't stop. So I'll move on, but this is bad. Those recruiting numbers are bad. Let's talk about some sailors on the USS Truman. Hang on a second. I got to pull this up really quick. I posted a few slides about the USS Truman and rationing. I'll briefly tell you what was in the slides because I realized that not everybody sees everything, but the context was sailors on board the USS Truman, which is a aircraft carrier. It is part of the 6th Fleet out in the Mediterranean right now. This is not OPSEC. Shut up about OPSEC. God, you people are stupid about OPSEC. Okay, not everything is OPSEC. This was already published in numerous articles in directly from interviews with the Pentagon. Okay, I'm not like magic. I'm not breaking the law or anything like that by putting out where a fleet is located right now when, you know, big media journals have already published on it directly from the spokesperson for the Pentagon. Dude. Whoo, man, I get going on that OPSEC word. Some of you people are absolute douche nozzles with it. OPSEC, you're putting our troops in danger. No, I'm not. Anyways. So the USS Truman is deployed to the Mediterranean Sea. And blah, 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 blah. Obviously, this is for the Russia-Ukraine nonsense that's going on. We have a conflict, war, whatever you want to call it, going on in Ukraine right now. And we have a large number of military troops that were brought up, that are on standby, that are doing different functions, not directly engaged in combat operations, you know, on the surface, but they are providing support in other ways. The USS Truman and its carrier group, its battle group, is one of them. So the food on the ship is being rationed to two meals a day, a scoop of rice, scoop of vegetables each, and then a piece of meat. The reason this is significant, and fortunately, oh, I'm so thankful I didn't have anybody jump in there with, well, back in my day, and I tried to put this in context so I wouldn't have any of the back in my days, dudes. We're not in a combat-restricted environment. We're not in a logistically restricted environment right now. By all intents and purposes, this is just a normal cruise. I think the Navy calls them cruises. A cruise, a deployment for them. And there's no reason that any of this should be happening. And I got the scoop as to why it's happening, actually. I'm going to tell you in a second. But anyways, they're being rationed. And it's like, dude, we just gave $40 billion to Ukraine. We ourselves have like a $770 billion budget. Why are our sailors being rationed on food? It gets even worse, though. Found out that the escort ships, like, get it a lot worse. In fact, the USS Truman is notorious for stealing food from their escort ships, other members of their carrier group, and basically subjecting them to rice and beans. Yes. So let's talk about it. This is what I learned. Stick with me for some boring stuff here. You want to hear this. Don't turn off the podcast. This is important. You're going to learn something here. I learned something. So Sixth Fleet's supply chain is broken. From the sources I've talked to and the experts who do this stuff, there's corroboration that these folks were on rice and beans for weeks when they were with the Truman, because the Truman was stealing their freaking food. All right. This was like a month ago. This just happened. This is actively happening. All right, so let me hit you with the boring stuff. So Navy warships receive all supplies, fuel, food, ammo, mail, dry cargo via something called an underway replenishment, an UNREP. The Navy has several of these supply ships, and the oilers do most of the fueling and sometimes food, dry cargo, but have limited space. So of the oilers that are out there, though, they're all 30-plus years old, and they're literally falling apart. Our oilers are falling apart. Two are being decommissioned next year. And then the other ships are like 14 years old, 15 years old, something like that. Like 15 to 10 years newer. And they supply the ammo, food, dry cargo, and all that stuff. And but they were poorly built, apparently. And I remember reading about this in several other places over the years, but these ships were really poorly built. Right. They didn't meet some sort of specification, but kind of like you get what you get at this point. The Navy couldn't go back on this stuff. So they've had a lot of failures over the last few years. So two of the first ammo ships are so broken that they're kept in something called pre-position stations with reduced crews. And the other 12 fill in for the oilers, but they're not built for that, right? So these ships are all civilian crewed by DOD civilians, which are referred to as CIVMARS. And yeah, I won't read the rest of that, but there's some more good information in there. But anyways, all right. So all MSC ships are USNS ships. the point of this is they're not USS combatant ships. So they're non-combatant. The functioning ships are spread out worldwide. So there were and there are two supply ships assigned to CENTCOM. All of CENTCOM. One of them is so broke down with system failures and uncontrolled flooding, it almost sank at the pier in the UAE. The other ship, the only functioning supply ship for all ships in CENTCOM, is running constantly to run fuel and food out to the ships, and it also has flooding problems and will likely be sidelined soon. Then the Mediterranean, there are a max of three support ships for the two carrier battle groups. I don't want to look it up right now. I don't have the information in front of me what a carrier battle group is, but it's a lot of ships, like a bunch of destroyers and a bunch of other stuff. And you got an aircraft carrier as the centerpiece of this thing, and it's being flanked by all these other ships. Go look it up. You get some fancy pictures of a formation of ships, whatever. And basically, if the rest of these ships are broken across the fleet, and I don't know this for sure, but it goes to say that there's likely issues with the ships that are supporting Sixth Fleet as well. Civ Mars are in shortage across the entire Navy right now. You know, those DoD civilians I told you about that provide the logistics and all that stuff. So they likely have crew shortages as well. Some of these crew members who were supposed to be out there for like 120 days tops have been out there for a year, and some even a year plus. They've been extended because they've got a force problem. It's not just the Army. Excuse me. It's not just the Army, but it's the Navy as well, and they have a force problem. What's the greater context here? Sorry, I was looking through my notes trying to make sense of this. I got a little distracted there. But anyways, what is a greater context here? Well, if you look at the stories I put out last year and talked about the rationing that was taking place in Germany, what was it? How do you pronounce that? Aachen over in Germany. And then there were a whole bunch of other places in Europe. And what we really saw from COVID was COVID ripped the face off of like the supply issues we had. When commanders, basically we had our system in place, we had our installations, we had our rotations, and everything was kind of on glide path, right? And then when COVID hit and we had to start shipping dudes off into isolation, into quarantine, and off to other installations and here and there and all over the place, whoa, we could not adapt. There was no adaptability, excuse me. And we just saw a mass of logistical issues across the force. The worst was that one I had in Germany. Hold on, let me go pull it up. It's the one I did on first BCT, 1st Cavalry Division. You remember that? It was 26 December of 2020. And that was the one that had the, by the way, if you want to see these for yourself, you can go to the Instagram page, landfill_actual. Okay. I don't post there anymore. I am the author for that page, along with some other folks. I did most of the posting on that page though. But anyways, this story specifically shows this massive issue with like, they couldn't even get water on the compound. These women couldn't get feminine hygiene products. I'm not going to read through the whole thing. That's not the purpose of what I'm talking about right here. What we've seen is this huge issue with logistics when a wrench is thrown in any of the gears, our leaders can't adapt. They can't flex. We have all these, we're supposed to be like the best sustainers in the world. And yet we see failures on every level. Anytime a wrench is thrown in the equation. And it's scary. It's scary because what happens when you have actual near peer threats and combatants that purposely interdict you and your ability to provide logistics to your troops? We're not even having anybody purposely do that yet. We're doing this to ourselves. We're extending people because we can't maintain recruitment numbers and force strength. Or our ships are breaking down because we're investing money all over the place, but not where it matters. It's scary. So at the end of the day, you say this isn't that big of a deal, soldiers being rationed food. It is that big of a deal because once again, we have $750 billion budget, which I advocate should not be the case, but regardless, we have no accountability for that money. It goes all over the place. I've talked about this many times. A lot of the pet projects I've seen literally just fall apart overnight and no accountability for them. I watched a $2 billion program on the classified side. It was a digital program. It was something that literally you could have handed off a project to, forget even handing it off to Microsoft or Oracle or any big name company. You could have handed this off to a group of college kids, thrown some Snicker bars at them, and, you know, a $50,000 grant, and they would have been able to knock it out. And yet we invested $2 billion in a database that eventually went nowhere and they just scrapped it, but no accountability because it was on the classified side. And it, even then, it existed within a domain where you're not going to see that stuff unless you're read on to some pretty weird caveats. $770 billion. And we can't put three squares in front of our sailors who are in a non-restricted environment. Not really sure what else I can say about any of that. I have a lot of doom and gloom on here, but somebody's got to talk about it, or else it just doesn't get talked about. I don't see anybody bringing these issues to light. I don't see any reporters or media digging into the stuff and bringing it to light. And this all goes back to the fact that out of sight, out of mind, unless it affects somebody's agenda, unless a reporter can tie it in with some agenda that they're working on a larger scale, because keep in mind, reporters and the media and the news and all that stuff, they have to feed a beast that feeds them back with financial compensation. The military is not it. Unless they can make a big story out of it, they pretty much leave the military alone, because who does the military, first of all, we make up less than 1% of the nation, but who really does the military affect? We're kind of off there by ourselves and no man's land, just doing our thing. Hey, yeah, protect the country. Woo, stick a yellow sticker on my car and call it a day, support the troops, right? Nobody really cares. So I have to talk about this stuff. I'm not a big fan of just constantly being doom and gloom. It eats me up inside. Sometimes I'm sure you're like, dude, I can't listen to Danny again. He's just going to be so freaking sad about everything. I get it, man. But somebody's got to talk about this stuff because it's real, because our national security is on the line, because people are laundering money through the military and defense industry. They have, you know, the Secretary of Defense has stocks in Raytheon where he's making, you know, dollars over fist on freaking all the armaments that are going over to Ukraine. And somehow nobody reports on this. You see it. You see it kind of filtering into the public sphere, but nobody's actually talking about this. Why? This is a huge story. It's because he's protected, man. The defense industry has protected him. They protected their own interests. And you think they're not bought into the media, but they absolutely are, just like Big Pharma bought into the media a long time ago. So they can protect their interests, and so that media and the journalists out there do not bring their news to light. They're trying to make money. They're trying to make a lot of money. They don't need media and reporters fucking it up for them. I use G's in there, so it's not technically a bad word. But I don't know what to do about it. Dudes, I'm telling you, I just don't know what to do. I'm going to keep putting it out there. Maybe we come up with a plan together. Obviously, I'm a little guy in a big pond doing my thing. There's a lot of other dudes out there that are doing similar things that are bringing light to corruption all over the place, all over our nation. And it kind of, a lot of these things kind of touch and, you know, connect with one another. And then you get your big talking points and other things can kind of feed into that. And every once in a while, you get a story from me or somebody else that kind of breaks out and you get some awareness on it. But I just don't know what to tell you as far as recourse. We just keep doing what we do. And, you know, me, you, we the people, eventually something happens. Eventually something's going to happen. I don't know. I don't know what that something is, but something's going to happen. History is proof of that. You know, what's her name? As the famous story goes, Marie Antoinette said, "Let them eat cake." This was when her people were starving. And she looked around in her gluttony. Who knows how much of this is solidly truth and how much has been embellished on. But the point is, the story makes a great analogy for modern times. And she looked around in her palace and all of her goodness and everything that she had and was just so disconnected from the people that she was just like, well, let them eat cake. Hey, if they don't have anything to eat, why can't they just eat some cake? We have so much of it here. Not realizing that she was taking food out of the mouths of her people and they killed her for it. You know, market economy says that the market will correct. The market will correct. It always does. Economics is a theory, but it is theory grounded in hard factual science. And the market always corrects. We'll get there. Whatever that looks like, I don't know. You may be dead. I may be dead. Or maybe we're not. Maybe we're eating cake in the palace someday. Anyways, I'll let you guys go with that. give you my promise every time I do one of these that I'll try to do this more regularly. I want to do different things. I just can't get over the digital hurdle of figuring out how to do them. And that just means I need to stop being lazy and learn. Plenty of YouTube tutorials out there. Anyways, y'all take care. Good talking to you.